Hello, welcome back to the Pickers Market podcast, episode 115.
115.
Tyler, 115 episodes already in. With me today, Tyler, as always, we sent Keith out to Costa Rica to the Gradient Grand Gala this week. So he's having hopefully a good time with Binger. And our viewers and listeners hear two new voices and see two new faces today. Mm-hmm. We have Sarah and TJ on.
Happy to be here.
Welcome, guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You are our newest addition to Gradient Investments investment team. Mm-hmm. On week five, is that right?
Yep.
Yes. Week five already. Yep. Perfect. Both of you are still here, so that's a good sign.
Still standing.
Still standing. Perfect. So we introduce you to our listeners today and viewers as the new team members. And then going forward, we will for sure have some rotations and some recurring new and old faces here.
We only have four spots in this room.
So. Only four spots, so we will have a little bit more different people. But you know, that's good to kind of keep it a little bit varied. So you listen to our podcast so far in a little bit preparation for today. So we usually start with two truths and a lie. So I brought a little general markets quiz today. I hope you don't cheat. You didn't cheat
before. No,
okay, perfect. No cheating. Tyler usually does. That's why I'm lacking to say that specifically.
I barely even look at your notes, let alone look at the questions.
Okay, let's move on here, Tyler. So A, only 135 of the S&P 500 constituents in 1996 are still in the index today, out of 500. The S&P 500 had 21 new all-time highs in the first half year of 2026, so until end of June in this case. Or C, every time the S&P 500 has entered a bear market, it has taken more than 1 year to recover its previous high. So you tell me, guys, where I lied. I start with you, Sarah. What
All
do you
right.
think?
Yeah, I'll walk through my thought process. So A, that's a tough one. You know, there's been quite some M&A since 1996. So not quite sure on that one, 135.
Lisa likes it tricky. It might be like 132.
I tend to be really evil on these, so yeah.
So A is a maybe. B, the S&P 500 has had 21 all-time highs in the first half of the year. I think that one's true. Strong start to the year. And then C, every time the S&P 500 has entered a bear market, it has taken more than 1 year to recover. I think if I think back to 2020, it was less than a year. Probably around 6 months, if I had to guess. So I would guess C is the lie.
Okay. TJ?
Yeah, going through the thought process there, only 135 of 500. That means roughly almost 80% of them are not still in the index today. That seems high, but since 1996, that is 30 years. So a lot of time to, you know, change up the constituents of the S&P 500. So I'm a little up in the air on that one. B, 21 new all-time highs. I think that one is true. Obviously, we saw a big bounce after the Iran complications and geopolitical conflict going on there. And every time the S&P 500 has taken more than 1 year to recover, I am going to go with C is the lie as well, too. Even though I think that's a lot of change in the constituents on there. I'm going to go with C is the lie.
Okay. Good thought process so far from you two guys. So let's go to the veteran podcast.
C.
Is that all you have to add? Usually you expand quite dramatically on these.
Similar to what Sarah said. So if you think back to 2020, I think we were back at all-time highs in like 3 or 4 months, I want to say. So.
Okay, C. You're all right. It is C. So it does not usually necessarily take 1 year. 2020 was, that you mentioned, was a very good thing here. I tend to make it easy for today. I actually just figured out I tricked myself, or I confused myself, because B is wrong also. S&P got to 24 new all-time highs, not 21.
Wow, so more than
so
21.
So I kind of, apparently in my search process for a good lie, I found a better lie and then I forgot to switch back that to the truth.
Two lies and the truth?
Two lies and the truth today. Okay. But again, like C was obviously the obvious lie and So yeah, little trick today here. Okay, well, let's move on and let's get to know our two new team members a little bit better. Let's start off with some professional questions. Tyler, what you think?
Yeah, probably best.
Probably best. Let's start off professionally and seriously, and then we get into a little bit more fun stuff that we should be aware of you. So Sarah, I'll start with you again. Tell us a little bit, what's your role at Gradient Investments? And what does your typical day at the moment look like?
Yeah, no, thank you again for having me. Excited to be here. So I'm an investment analyst on the Gradient Investment team. So my day currently looks like, you know, opening up the morning briefs, reading through market research. It's earnings season, so keeping tabs of, different positions in the portfolio. What are the earnings, calendars looking like for the week, for the day? And then really just, getting to know the portfolios, which positions are in them, what are the investment strategies, and what are kind of, the historical, stories of the portfolios and, why advisors choose certain portfolios, how is Gradient Investments, adapted offerings throughout the years, and, great material out there on every portfolio that makes it easily accessible to read and listen in and really, understand the portfolios.
Yeah.
What... So you came from another company.
Yep.
What is different about Gradient than your previous company, or what are you doing differently than your previous company?
Yeah, I came from more of the, I was at Allianz in the insurance investing landscape. So definitely, the client looks different, right? Investing for a large insurance company with high regulation. Typically the investments were fixed income, where here the client looks a little bit different, right? It's the everyday people. Maybe not as much, rigor around risk tolerance that, a large insurance company needs to adhere to. So I've really enjoyed getting more of the equity analyst and research role in my time so far at Gradient.
Sweet.
Awesome. TJ, what about you? What is your role and how does it look like and how is it different to Tyler's point from your previous role?
Yeah, so my role is an associate portfolio manager on the Gradient Investments team. I am right now looking at one of the portfolios that we have here, been sort of partially assigned to that, start to better understand the underlying stocks, how they've historically managed the portfolio, what they're looking for in the certain stocks that are in there, and then better understanding the wider range of portfolios that we have to offer here at Gradient Investments as well, too. And something that's different than my previous role is this is definitely different, which I like. This is awesome. Never have done the podcast before. So that's definitely good. And the other thing is being able to have a little bit more access to certain information to do some of the equity analysis myself. Previously, we had a team that kind of went through the different sectors and picked out their best stocks that they thought that the advisors and the private wealth advisory practices would utilize. I probably should have started with that. I worked at a private wealth advisory firm with Ameriprise for 4 years as an investment analyst over there. So they had a team on the back end that would, pick their favorite stocks in each one of the sectors on there. And then my job would be go through and screen that and then also pick some stocks on the outside of their recommended list there.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And how did you end up in the financial industry in the first place?
I always went back. I've always had a good math background. So majored in finance and a minor in economics, and then started off as a credit analyst at Stearns Bank. In St. Cloud there. And then I wanted to expand a little bit and went to U.S. Bank and their private wealth management division there. Became a CFA charter holder in 2019. So that's always something that I've wanted to do, was get into investing and be a better investor overall. And my uncle I just told me if, you know, you want the gold standard of the investment management credential, look at this and dive into it. So dove into it head first and got that out of the way. And so, yeah, that's a little background.
Nice. Sarah, how did you end up in the finance industry?
Yeah, no, I think I've always kind of been drawn to, you know, the investments industry. And I think part of what I enjoy too is, you know, when you do more of a research role, you can channel that creativity as well. So you have, you know, the technical side, but also some of those soft skills of, you know, being technical enough to really understand financial statements, but then bringing it back to life and really, you know, being able to speak to complex topics and, you know, just be creative, whether it's, you know, prepping a research industry piece or stock piece, kind of that combination and duality of the role. I enjoy.
I think that's perfect. So like one of the first things there was plenty of first things that Binger told me when I was hired 8 years ago as a young 22 or what was I? 24. Give myself too much credit. But like one of the things that Binger always talked about was the market reflections that we write, mm-hmm. the investment insight series, like everything needs to be, he was like, is if your grandmother can understand mm-hmm. it, right? Like that's the goal of what we do is yep. we try and break it down into maybe take some of these complex things that we're talking about. Not that everything is complex, but the market, which can be scary for a lot of people to understand and follow, especially when they're investing, is how can you make it into a digestible, something that everybody can understand, because not everybody follows it like we do. Right. So like, I think that's a really important point just to mm-hmm. keep doing that.
And I think that's also kind of speaks for, if you really understand it, you can break it down in a very simple way. And the simpler it is, the better you understand it. It's counterintuitive, but the more complicated someone explains something, that usually can sometimes also point to, okay, that person right. doesn't really understand it right. themselves.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. makes it more complicated than it needs to be. And also for us.
Using the buzzwords, using
yeah,
the,
yeah.
to sound smart.
Yeah, it's usually the exact yeah. opposite. So, which brings me to another question that I'm interested at. So give me a short best and worst financial advice that you've ever, financial or career advice that you've ever gotten. I start with you, TJ.
Yeah.
The best and the worst.
I'll start with the worst. And that was, it was probably earlier in my career, you know, people talking about investing and the advice was, you know, to lever up to gain higher returns.
Oh, we talked about this last.
Yeah. Yeah. The leverage ETFs last week. And that's just not the way that negative math works.
Yeah.
If you go one way, to the downside, that same percentage to the upside doesn't get you back to where you started.
Yeah.
So that would be the worst. And the best, I think, would be investing versus saving. I think that's an important mm-hmm. difference there, because when people talk about saving, they, you know, talk about potentially just leaving their money in the bank and having it sitting there and saving up. But the thing is that you don't really earn much interest at the bank. So you need to invest that to maybe be able to maintain your purchasing power over time, because inflation is going to eat away at that.
Yep.
So if you're not getting a return that's above the rate of inflation, well, then you got a negative real return and you're losing some purchasing power.
Yeah,
so
definitely. That's some good stuff. Sarah, what about you?
Yeah, I'll start with the best. So kind of going back to the theme we just talked about, invest in things you understand. I think that's important to, you know, when you're looking into a company, to really just understand how do they make money? Who are their customers? Getting down to kind of the fundamentals of a business and just, you know, investing in things you can understand yourself. And then the worst, no surprise, coming from the fixed income side, fixed income is boring. You hear that a lot. But I think, you know, understanding in my prior role, understanding fixed income, the fundamentals, the cash flows, and even, you know, on the equity analyst side of things, understanding how fixed income plays into a balance sheet and how integral that is to, you know, a company's profit is, you know, something that I've valued. So, mm-hmm. you know, don't knock on fixed income. I think it's an interesting, yeah. you know, part of the finance world as well.
That's some good stuff, because even if you
fixed, Fixed income.
You're our resident fixed income expert.
Fixed income sexy.
And usually, you know, people have like kind of a love for either fixed income or equity and kind of bicker at each other, like different analysts. But you need to understand both sides, and both sides go, you know, hand in hand. So that's a good point. So understand one side to partly explain at least the other side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So also to kind of pick a little bit on the best and worst advice, and we talked about this in I think 2 years ago or whatever, what we learned from our worst stock picks. So what was the worst pick that you've ever did in your life that was really for the garbage can? And what was the best one? And also what did you learn from it, right? And we all have those gravestones in our personal accounts, or we all have those stories. So that's certainly always interesting. What did you learn from it, and what was your worst? How did you trip over that one, TJ?
So I would say my worst one was Zoetis, which was a animal health company.
It still is.
It still is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It still is. It is an
animal. For TJ, it was.
Yeah. So animal health company, and their real problem was that their area that they were in was seeing a high level of competition increasing. So their growth started to slow down and their margins contracted a little bit. And then some of their primary customers are younger generation. So Gen Z, millennials, and they've been a little bit more strapped than some of the older generations because of they don't own as much of the assets, the homes, equities. So they were getting a little strapped and they pulled back spending a little bit too. And the stock took a big hit, after that. So yeah, that was a bad one.
That was a popular name back in like 2020, 2021 when COVID.
And everyone was kind of taking care of their animals a little bit more.
Everybody's home, everybody's getting pets. And all of a sudden, fast forward five, 6 years, and you're not seeing the people purchasing of pets as much anymore.
Right. Yeah. The new purchases slowed down a little bit, and then they got constrained on spending for sure on that. Yeah. So yeah, that was the worst one. The best one I would say was NVIDIA. Now I didn't know that the AI wave was coming up, but the thesis about NVIDIA was that we entered in 2022 after a big pull down after interest rates increased. So tech sector, longer duration equities got hit very hard and pulled down. We had a larger underweight to tech at that time, which was beneficial, but I started to see, you know, the potential for the curve to change over time. And they had the highest quality chips. So I didn't know that they were going to be, you know, the number one in GPU leadership moving forward, but I didn't know that they had the highest quality chips at the time. It looked like an attractive entry point at that time as well too. And we were underweight tech. So it wasn't like we were getting overextended within the more volatile tech sector. So for those three reasons, I, you know, put it on the table and, you know, it was a home run.
Great.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a little bit of a different take. I think, you know, those hard stocks that were losers hurt just as much, but the ones that got away, those always hurt too. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Tesla in 2019 and I just couldn't get, you know, my hands around the kind of lack of consistent profitability. I don't think they were profitable until Q2, Q3, 2019. And you know, one that got away, they've done well, had their kind of ups and downs, but Tesla was kind of one that got away for me. And then I would say, you know, on the positive side, the cybersecurity, you know, the CrowdStrike, Fortinet play with the you know, growth in software and, you know, the broader, you know, just cybersecurity need with threats out there now. That's been a good one for me.
Great. Two very different stories here, very different experiences. Yep.
Yeah.
Tyler, what was again your worst stock pick to kind of remind our listeners of how you...
I mean, there's plenty.
The worst of the worst. You have one.
You're talking about Lululemon?
Lululemon's
pretty bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
So backstory for that. So anytime that I try and buy it, it tanks on earnings.
Yeah, it's really it's cursed. It's really Tyler buys it and it's really
Anytime I don't buy it on earnings. So like I like to jump into stocks right before earnings.
Yep.
Because that's where you get the volatility. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Lululemon, every time I literally buy it, it goes down 13% on earnings. And then the quarters I don't buy it, it goes up 13%. So I've just decided not.
But did you decide to not participate anymore? You're correct. Still playing the game. Okay. Correct. So you, okay, I'm tapped done. Out. You finally, I was like, you know,
I have lost enough money in Lululemon that have decided to stop buying it.
Okay. Well, the learning curve took a little bit, but you know,
my current worst pick is, we talked about levered ETFs.
Yeah.
I'm still in the SOX S, which is 3X levered short semis. Mm-hmm. That one's not going too hot.
Okay. Okay.
Talking about levered, shouldn't do it, but I did it.
But you did it and you failed.
It's not going well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, that's how you all learn. Yeah. Yeah.
What's yours?
Oh, my worst stock pick, that's easy. That's Pluckbauer. Yeah. So that was my worst of the worst. I had a gain about 300% at some point, then greed kicked in. And then obviously, so one of the biases, right? It was a couple of years ago. It was during COVID. And then I took the elevator up and I took the elevator back down. So,
learned a lot from it.
learned a lot from it. But that was my worst learning experience, but it was necessary. You know, everyone has that at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's better to have that in your personal account.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the challenge as you guys come into this side of the business, right? Like the individual stock picking side, like you're not going to be right on 100%. You're not going to bat 100. You'll be lucky if you bat 60. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I think it's, everybody has those learning experiences. And when, especially for you guys coming onto the individual stock side, have a thesis, have catalysts for the companies that you're investing in. And if it changes, don't be afraid to punt it on out. Like it's the nature of the business. Companies change, the thesis changes, the catalyst changes, the macro environment changes, and you can't be beholden to you can't anchor yourself to your original idea. So,
right. Yeah. The anchoring bias, and we're talking about biases on there, the anchoring one, that definitely is one to be aware of. And to your point of things changing, it seems like things are, you know, at least post COVID, it seems like things are changing at a more rapid pace
for sure
as well too. So
yeah,
it's good advice.
So let's talk about some personal stuff. So the real thing here, like what we want to know from you. So give me a little bit of a rundown. Where are you from originally? Where did you grow up? And what are you doing in your free time?
So I grew up in the St. Cloud area, Sartell, small city next to that. Went to Sauk Rapids High School, then St. Cloud State, which is next to that. And that's when I got my first job in the St. Cloud area, and then moved down here. But in my free time, I do go back to the St. Cloud area a lot to do a lot of fishing up there, and then hunting as well too. But in my free time overall, I think just being outdoors is something that I enjoy. You know, that's golf, frisbee golf, walking around, just getting that vitamin D, especially in Minnesota here right. with winter times, not too much of it.
Sarah.
Yeah. And I'm from, the area here. So went to Centennial High School, from Centerville, Minnesota, and similar to TJ, I enjoy, you know, being active. I enjoy yoga, walking. I love cooking. Italian food specifically.
When are we getting a dish?
Right. I mean, that's always the thing. If someone says they like cooking, you know, we cannot testify to that, you know?
And we just need to prove out my hobby.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, exactly.
That's on the list. I don't love baking, but cooking. So I'll have to bring in a lunch or something. And then, you know, just spending time with friends and family, going up to the cabin in the summer and boating and
Minnesotans, you two.
Yeah, we are.
Where's the cabin?
It's in Osceola, Wisconsin. So about 45 minutes just northeast of Stillwater.
Oh, okay. So just straight east.
Love it.
So Sarah, give us a weird or fun or quirky thing about you that we should know. It's fun of you to know.
Yes. So I just mentioned I love cooking. I'm also a foodie. I love going out to eat. I get some, you know, judgment because I do look at menus weeks in advance to plan out what I'm going to eat when I go to a restaurant. You need to know, you know, you need to have an approach
going in. You need to be prepared.
Have a plan. Yeah.
I understand you on this.
Yeah. So that's kind of a weird quirk, but I'm a planner. And that fits my vibe.
So let me ask you this. So your husband is a pilot.
Yep.
Do you ever, with you saying you're a planner, do you ever try and fly standby and just go on a whim to whatever city that he's flying to?
Which would be very spontaneous for you.
It has helped me for sure. We have taken advantage of the standby and, you know, gone to Europe, and we went to London for Christmas and got on a flight out there. So yes, that has definitely helped with my spontaneity of his, you know, career and our schedule. It forces me to be a little more lax.
But sometimes you need something like that, yeah, you know, balance. To kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit and expand.
Exactly. Yeah.
But still a planner at heart.
Still a planner at heart.
Perfect. DJ, what about you? Some fun, quirky thing to know about you.
Yeah. The weird kind of quirky thing is, I would say for me is I'm one of those people that likes to kind of chew on things. So plastic straws, popsicles, the little mechanical plastic piece on the old mechanical pencils.
So no pen is safe from you.
Well, the thing is, I don't really do it with the...
We should lock our drawers, people.
Don't share pens. No, I haven't done it with any pen yet here, but I've been mentally
holding back.
Well, I've been mentally aware of my quirky, weird chewing phenomenon there. But yeah, I don't know why popsicle sticks, you get done with it and it ends up and it's all chewed. I don't know how that happens. But yeah, that would be the one thing. But coming here, I have been mentally aware of that. So I haven't done it yet so far, but then I'll get distracted by something else and all of a sudden the pen will be in my mouth.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Kyla, I think I've never asked you that question either. So how about you? give me something that I can take to bully you.
Well,
which I never do actually, by the way.
You think most of the stuff I do is quirky and weird, so...
I think that?
Yeah.
Okay. Give us an example for our listeners.
I'm a big Lego guy.
That's right. The full desk is...
Yes. I have... And it's mainly Formula One.
Yeah, right.
Related.
And they have a lot for adults now, you know, like even flower arrangements and whatever you want is basically available in Lego now.
But I love building Legos. Like every year for Christmas, my mom... So growing up, I always got Legos for Christmas. And so still... my mom gets me some Lego thing. It's not like a massive, it's just a little thing that you can put together in like 5 minutes, but.
And do you have it stored at work to kind of keep it away from your two little boys?
I do. Because they will absolutely destroy them.
Yeah.
So all of my Formula One cars are here at work at my desk.
Awesome.
What's the largest Lego set that you put together before as far as number of pieces?
I mean, it's nothing crazy. Like I think the Michael Schumacher Ferrari Lego that I have at the desk, I think that was like 1,100 pieces, 1,200 pieces, something like that.
I'm sure you're getting up there with those.
Yeah, I mean, it took probably three or four nights, like dedicating like an hour, hour and a half each night to it.
Yeah.
So probably good four or 5 hours into it.
Yeah. The good feeling when it's all put together and you set it in front of you and there it is.
Yeah.
I would freak out with the instructions. I would throw the whole thing in the bin. I don't know. I hate reading instructions.
It's super easy.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I also hate building IKEA furniture. So next to that.
I like seeing those videos when people got their completed Legos and they're absolutely massive and they come in and destroy them.
Or some is missing and it's like, what am I doing with this? Where does this belong to? And this whole thing is kind of done.
I mean, Legos are pretty good at making sure you have extras. So you actually end up with extras, which is actually
that will freak me out too, because stressful. I was like, where's that coming from?
What did I miss?
Yeah, right. Exactly. What did I miss?
Something.
So anyways, well, that was a good one. And we, again, Lisa prepared way too much notes for what we actually have time for. So I guess we have to bring you guys back soon to talk about your market outlook and update on what you currently work on and think about markets.
Yeah.
But we will probably talk that.
Well, let's do the fun stuff. Yeah, let's just touch on that.
I just wanted to do that.
Okay,
good. Anyways, we usually end on a fun note or something interesting, which the whole thing today was a little fun, right? To get to know you a little bit better.
That's great.
But let's talk a little bit about what your plans are for the rest of the summer. Any fun travel plans? Any fun stuff planned, TJ?
So the plan, I'm kind of getting it put together right now with my brother, but we usually do an annual Leech Lake trip where we stay up there for a few days up there. So I'm trying to plan that last week of August, first week of September there. So that'll be good. We didn't get to go last year. That was the first year that we missed in a while. So
is it with your brother? So the two of you?
Yep. Yeah. So we go up there and uncle's got a cabin up there. So stay with him if he's not got, if he doesn't have anything going on or they're not up there, or there's a nice little resort that's close by as well too. So go up there and muskie fish for a few days there. So cool. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Nice. And Sarah, we heard you are going out on a trip very soon. I think tonight or tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah.
Where are you going? What are you doing there?
My summer vacation's quickly approaching. So leaving tomorrow for Banff, Canada. So very excited about that. I've actually never, been to Canada.
So interesting. So you're Minnesotan, so close to Canada, but I've never really been there.
Yeah, been to Europe several times, but excited to, so we're flying into Calgary. One of my good friends is getting married in Banff, so have the wedding there, and then going to do some exploring and hiking in the Banff area.
And you're staying in that area?
Yep.
And how long are you there for?
A week.
Okay.
Yes.
And you I heard you have a very special task for your friend's wedding too.
Yep. Yeah. Maid of honor in my friend's wedding.
Nice.
So
Very nice.
Yep. My college roommate. So very excited to, and honored to be a part of her wedding. And I'm sure it'll be a beautiful landscape and weather's looking great. It's a little cooler there actually around.
Which is not bad, right?
Mid-70s. So
that's nice.
So it'll be perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. Tyler, what about you? We talked about this, but you're staying in the garden and in the plunge pool with the kids.
Yeah. I mean, I got nothing, but just hanging out with the boys.
Hang out with the boys.
Yeah, I mean,
you build a sandbox and everything. So you have a lot going on and a lot of things to do.
We use it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, nothing really.
Just relaxing. That's good too.
I've got some advisor trips coming up here, but that's more September. But
That's usually ramps up in fall again.
Mm-hmm. So
where are you going next for advisor trips? What states and cities?
I'm going to Oregon.
Oh, nice.
And then good old Michigan.
Good old Michigan. Yep.
Love a good Michigan trip.
Yep.
So then we're doing that.
Okay.
But
I've never been to Michigan. So
literally the only trips that I...
Nice.
Nothing personal.
Well, that's all good. All work.
What about you?
Oh, we talked about this last week.
Last week.
Next week, I'm...
Remind our listeners.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to my home country, to Austria, to visit family and friends. So that will be good. It will be 2 weeks. I hope you can survive 2 weeks without me, without my bickering.
Depends,
Tyler, that will be a miserable time for you.
Depends on how nice or mean you are.
Anyways, I have to ramp up my hostilities until then to get you over there. But
We're going to miss you for Two whole weeks,
Tyler.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't trust you on that one. Like the way with your smirk. Anyways, we will be back next Wednesday. And thank you guys for joining us. You have to come back very soon because we haven't talked about your market update and outlook. So for our viewers,
we got to get stock picks at some point.
And stock picks and all of that.
We got to push you on the spot. We got
to. Yeah. I mean, we have to keep it short and sweet.
It was an easy one.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It was an easy one. Next time we ramp up a little bit.
I got an idea. How about, what would that be? 3 weeks or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
We should have all of us.
Yeah.
John, Keith, Binger. We'll just bring in some extra chairs and we'll all give our stock picks for the
next year. Certainly interesting. It will be a packed room, but at least you have the whole brain of Gradient Investments together.
I think we
for
have to
a special
that.
For a special update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So in that case, listeners, be back, hit a like and subscribe and be back for the whole TI full market update, stock picks, whatever. We are back very soon.
Investing involves the risk of loss. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be regarded as personalized investment advice or relied upon for investment decisions. Jeremy Bryan, Tyler Ellegaard, Keith Gangle, Lisa Schreiber, and David Ama are employees of Gradient Investments, LLC, and may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. All opinions expressed by them and their guests are solely their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of Gradient Investments, LLC. Please consult your independent investment advisor before making any investment decisions. The information herein is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the sole basis for making an investment decision. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. For more information, please request a copy of Gradient Investments ADV Part 2A. Gradient Investments LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor.